What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is, Cinco de Mayo. That's right. So, white people, happy Margaritas and Chimichangas Day. it's always a good time. It's a good time regardless of what the day is. But we're recording this on Monday, May 4th, which is fucking Star Wars Day. So, I'm Trey, that's Mark. All kinds of holidays happening over here. I don't think we're going to talk about any of that again. But anyway, how's it going, Mark?
No, I tried to do a Jar Jar Binks impression right here, but I couldn't quite figure out what to say.
You got to be kind of racist to do sort of a patois or whatever, and do that. I just got back from New York. I went to a Yankees game on Saturday. They don't hit for me, but I'd never been to Yankee Stadium, and they were doing Star Wars Day, and they put all of their players, they photoshopped them into Rebel Alliance outfits and like Jedi gear. And that pissed me off so much because it's like, dude, if anyone's the evil empire, it's the New York Yankees. And that's okay. Like no one in that stadium, if they put Aaron Judge in like a Sith get up with a red lightsaber, nobody there would be like, oh, why would they do that? They're the bad guys. Like everybody would be like, fuck yeah. You know, people like that shit. It's cool. Anyway, just really bothered me.
It is. It is funny listening to you call the Yankees the evil empire while you are a Los Angeles Dodgers fan.
I know, but I'd sort of say the same thing about them. But like with the Yankees, even the color scheme matches. Well, dude, the Raiders suck. And I bet the Raiders would go with like a Darth Vader motif. And people would clown on them because they're not any good. But I am a Raiders fan and I would be in favor of that. So I'm saying it's just a bitch move. Anyway, whatever.
It's like, I forget, this is misapplied here, but like it's like basically every fascist movement considers themselves the underdog. So that's you, Yankees for you there.
Right.
Like, my thing is like, when you root for like one of those teams that generally wins, why don't you just enjoy it?
I know,
that's the thing. It's like, we win like 3 World Series a decade. It's great. Like, you don't have to fucking, we're going to go get them. Like, you know, it's a bunch of knock around guys. Our show today, we'll be talking about the status of the primaries, basically because it looks like Graham Plattner is going to be the Democratic nominee for Senate in Maine, and after much consternation. So I want to talk about the consternation because a lot of it's pretty funny. Pretty busy week otherwise, weekend, last few days. Spirit Airlines has gone bankrupt pretty much while flights were midair and everyone had to jump out with old-timey parachutes like they were the Red Baron. That was
Did
funny.
You see that guy, that pilot who was retiring? And I guess in the world of commercial aviation, they have a whole ceremony that they go through when a pilot retires. And he like went up in the air and came down and his company didn't exist anymore or something. So Southwest Airlines gave him the traditional send-off that you're supposed to get. They like shoot water hoses over the plane that you drive it under or something. He did that in Southwest plane instead because Spirit just ended on his last day. So,
that's cool. Raven. All sorts of brotherhoods out there we don't know about. Right. I do feel real bad for like the these are union jobs or good jobs, and like the flight attendants, I guess, had to they all lose their seniority. So even if they move to another airline, they start over. So it's like their careers. Directly fucked you to get a job. So, it sucks. I don't really have any good answers for it. The Biden administration blocked a merger that might have kept them in business a little longer, but also jet fuel prices are like double. So it's like they
have fucked. And is it a thing where it's like because they're a budget airline, their margins are smaller, and so they couldn't stomach this, this recent shift or whatever? I know that people buy tickets well in advance, and that would have been priced in at the time. And then now the actual cost is much higher. And like I said, because they're a budget airline, they just couldn't shoulder or something.
I think every airline runs on really small, really thin margins. Like, we talk about profit margins, but after everybody pays themselves, so that's part of it. Like, but I really don't know. I'd be talking on my ass if I, Rand wore for a minute, which I guess is back on today, or Rand restarted it. We haven't necessarily yet, otherwise blown up a few small boats. A few days ago, United Arab Emirates pulled out of OPEC, to be able to, increase production to fulfill some of the capacity of the world's lost because they have a pipeline that doesn't go through the Strait of Hormuz. And then today, Iran bombed that pipeline, which I guess no one else thought was allowed.
Right.
Like, did anybody in the UAE fucking look at a map and be like, yeah, they can shoot that? Like, this is probably this workaround
They've
is not
going
to fucking...
They've already been targeted too, right? Or like, when it very first started, I remember there was all that shit about, people being stuck in Dubai and everything. And so, can't believe they thought of that, Iran.
Yeah. Like, it's a, so also, like, another Iran war thing. Let me quote here. The Wall Street Journal reported that Iran is contemplating using suicide dolphins equipped with mines to try to go after U.S. ships. I don't believe this is true for fucking seconds. One of those cartoonish deep state things they make up, like Osama bin Laden having an underground lair. But, like, I do want to say, if this is what you're trying, deep state, we are all well aware that dolphins commit sexual assault.
Yeah.
So... you got to go with a cuter animal like otters. Otters, I'd be a fucking on board.
I think, I hate to say this, this comes up a lot in nature. I think otters also get a little sexual assaulty sometimes. Damn. People might want to look into that, but, you know, they're also cute. They keep their favorite rock in their fur pocket, and that's precious. But, you know, mm-hmm. they also do wild shit. Everybody that's listening to this that also listens to, like, Well Read and other shows that's been around for a while is sitting mm-hmm. here thinking right now, probably going like, Trey's going to bring it up, isn't he? Here he goes again with this thing. Suicide dolphins, right? Military right. research. There's some precedent for it. I don't know if Iran's got the stomach to do what it takes, but years ago in America, there was a military program where they're trying to teach dolphins to communicate with humans for, like, military reasons. They hired this linguistics researcher lady to do the project to try to teach a dolphin to communicate with humans, and the dolphin wouldn't listen or participate because of what you said. He was too riled up. So she started jacking this dolphin off just to get him to pay attention, right? Uh-huh. But the dolphin caught feelings for this lady. I guess she was, you know, pretty skilled. The dolphin fell in love with her. When the funding lapsed and she left, the dolphin killed himself, or some people say died of a broken heart. You know, it depends on how you look at it. But you're either going to have to get some, like, you're going to have to romantically scorn these dolphins and then convince them that it was our boats that did it or something, and maybe then maybe they'll, you know, Allahu Akbar the boats with my suicide vest on. I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's just one of my favorite examples of science going awry, so I bring it up a lot.
You know, I remember Qasem Soleimani, the leader of the IRGC that we assassinated back during Trump 1, and yes. he was like a huge hero to the revolution. Do you think maybe he was such a huge hero in Iran because he was the best at jacking off their suicide dolphins?
It's a thankless job, you know, truly patriotic. But yeah, there's actually a long tradition of that type of thing, right? In World War II, they had like, didn't they do that with, like, dogs? Sorry, everybody. Dogs, I think, some side, where they'd put them on, strap bombs to them and send them towards tanks, and, like, they tried to get pigeons or bats or something to...
Some armies have used children for that, so it's better, I guess, than dogs.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
But, like, we do... I think I mentioned this show before, but when I first moved to L.A., one of my day jobs, I worked for an executive head at a firm where I had to, like basically fix a lot of people's resumes, the executives. And, like, the military guys always had the coolest job titles. And this one guy who retired from the Navy, his job title was Commander U.S. Pacific Fleet Dolphins. He was a dolphin commander. Love and it. I was like, fucking badass. So I know we have anti-mine dolphins. So I think maybe if we just have, like, remember how, like, in ancient times, the armies would send out their champions to fight and settle the whole war?
Right.
What if we send our dolphin to fight their dolphin?
Yeah.
And the winner gets control of the Strait of Hormuz.
Well, what if the dolphins decide it's more of like a rape-off than like a fight to the death? You know what I mean? That would change the...
Buddy.
Just don't televise it, you know. Which
there
is
are gonna, no rules. There are no rules in dolphin, not dolphin, dolphin trial by combat.
Dolphin combat. Trial by dolphin combat. Yeah, man. Imagine the Cauchy bets on that.
Get all their fucking dystopias involved in one thing.
All right. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. Like we said, we got some, looking at the results as we head towards the projections, as we head towards the midterms and all of that. We're not doing plugs anymore at this point anyway. So let's just go ahead. Matt, if you don't mind, give me that Daily Dumbass graphic, buddy. Today's DD, political ads from the 30 Rock Extended Universe. For escaping containment.
Graham Platner blames Maine's women for getting raped because he says they get f***ed up drunk. And Platner bragged about having a Nazi tattoo on his chest. That's the real Graham Platner. Pine Free Results Back is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Well, the guy in that ad's a real fucking lunatic. So that ad's paid for. The pack that funded that ad is the main backers of it are Blackstone CEO Steven Schwarzman and Palantir's Alex Karp. They spent $2 million on it. Mostly, I imagine, because Plattner's called Gaza a genocide, and Carr probably prefers Janet Mills because of data centers. But also, a fun fact about Stephen Schwartzman, if you remember him. In 2010, he compared Barack Obama's plan to raise the tax rate on carried interest to Hitler's invasion to Poland.
Yeah.
So it's important they take out Graham Plattner for minimizing the Holocaust.
Yeah, right. He's like, this is my Holocaust. These tax loopholes being closed. We all have our own personal tragedies.
I'm like, it's like, okay, so the fear-mongering about this kind of stuff, we lived through it last year with Zohran Mamdani, where he's been in office. Zohran's been mayor of New York for 6 months, and Sharia law remains painfully unenforced in the city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
What he's done mainly is fix some basketball hoops around the city and proposed a pied-à-terre tax where billionaires who will have to pay an extra tax on houses in the city that are worth $5 million or more, which one billionaire said was, this is how it begins. Mm-hmm. So if you have to pay slightly higher property taxes on the place where you house your mistress in Manhattan, then that's the next step is Red October.
Right.
And these people fucking exhaust me. So getting back to Plattner, maybe Maine's non-primary voters will care about his internet posts, which are what we're going to be talking about for a lot of the show today. But like, I just want to point out here that a private equity billionaire who's bankrolling another anti-Plattner PAC drove two of Maine's largest paper mills into bankruptcy, selling them for scraps, and wiped out more than 1,000 jobs, and then walked away with the pension money. So I feel like we got to balance what matters here and what doesn't. And I would have recommended people vote for Janet Mills if she survived the primary one, too, because this is likely to be the tipping point state for control of the Senate. So you're talking about whether or not Trump gets to seat two more Supreme Court justices.
Right.
With no oversight.
Right.
That's the ball game here. And that's why they're going to spend so much fucking money trying to destroy Graham Plattner.
And right. So, well, how do you feel about that? I mean, it's like if he ends up winning. I know we've talked about him on here before and the context of all that and everything. But like, it's so high stakes, right? And it's like, of course, it's like everything is riding on a guy who had a Nazi tattoo or whatever. It's like, why has it always got to be something, man? Like, you know.
Well, like, look, I try not to think of everything's a parasocial relationship right now. So this thing where people pick politicians to root for, like their characters and like a story, like I try not to do. Although everybody falls into it, I'm not going to fucking act like I'm not human with regards to this stuff a lot. But like, he's a dude. Janet Mills is a lady. They're running for a job that humans do. Both have baggage, and like people are having all these like huge takes about it. But yeah, you're right. Like, I don't think every criticism of Plattner is unfair. Like basically, like, the D.C. Democrats establishment dislikes him for two reasons. One I think is fair, one of them I disagree with him on. One, the one you're talking about, he's a wild card. Right? His internet posts, his unpredictability, it could absolutely cost him the race. They might be correct, right? Right. But the second reason I like him, he's basically eat the rich adjacent, and he might not be a team player in the Senate. Now, that hits for me, but me not too, Chuck Schumer. Right.
So yeah, like, we need more of that. Yeah,
right. But somebody else could have run in that lane.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
It didn't have to be.
Shit.
Yeah. Right. It didn't have to be him. Right. But he's just the one who got off his ass and did it.
Yeah. Right.
So what? But like the two biggest points of contention in the primary between him and Janet Mills were basically she wanted to keep the filibuster. She would have voted for Chuck Schumer. Three biggest differences. She promised to vote for Chuck Schumer for leadership, or was mealy mouthed about it. And third, he's against arming Israel for free. Right? So those are three things that I agree with him on, but will make Chuck Schumer's life fucking hell. Right? Plattner's been barnstorming the state, going to every like VFW hall, county fair, whatever. So like, one of the reasons these tax might have landed on him so far is because a lot of people have fucking met him.
Right.
So like you're like, oh, this, the TV says that he posted weird stuff on the internet back in 2013, but then you just had a conversation with him while you both ate a corn dog.
Right.
So, what? There's also the part where Janet Mills is 78 years old. Let me add some context here for you. 2 weeks ago, a congressman by the name of David Scott from Georgia died at the age of 80. A couple weeks ago, he was wheeled into office to register to run again.
Yep.
Three members of Congress missed all 18 votes in the House last week. One of them was Representative Frederica Wilson from Florida, who has missed the last 2 weeks of House business. She's 83 years old, turns 84 the day after the midterm, and is seeking re-election.
Right. Right. Yeah, I know. It's one of the biggest problems that we have. You know, nobody will relinquish power. I just, like, you know, easy for me to say, I'm not in that position, but I just feel like when I'm, I would barely want to be able to muster the energy to do that job right now, I think.
Right.
You know, but I'm 80 years old, bro. Absolutely not. But I guess it's different when you, you know, when you run in those circles.
And think about the situation you're electing him into. Like, if you want actually anything to actually be fixed in this country, the Supreme Court just, like, nuked the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah.
So these three-day work weeks for the Senate aren't going to fucking cut it. Like, they need a new Voting Rights Act to pack the courts so they won't get overturned. Otherwise, we're about to be in a gerrymandering hell full of fucking super-rigged state delegations with no minority representation. We're back to, like, I have no idea why when conservatives in America decided they wanted it to be 1913 again, but we got fucking disease outbreaks, no vaccines, no science, education is being destroyed, child labor, and taking away voting representation from minorities. So, like, it's a lot to do, and I don't really think a bunch of 85-year-olds are equipped for it.
Right.
Maybe it's my prejudice.
They don't. It's the whole just the concept of them. You know, they're not going to be around to see how it all turns out anyway. Do you know right. what I mean? They don't have as much of a vested. I mean, you would think if they have fucking grandchildren and stuff, but it just seems so many of them are not as concerned with that, or you know, whatever.
But it's hard to argue they're planning for the future when they're signed up to run again in a fucking wheelchair.
Right.
That is a sign of, like, that is not a sign of having a plan to pass power and have your project outlive you. That's fucking mm-hmm. narcissism up and down. So yeah, Plattner didn't have to be like the guy running in the non-establishment lane, but nobody made Chuck Schumer run Janet Mills either. And by the way, a fucking tip of the hat to Chuck Schumer here. So they chased a moderate outsider out of the race in favor of Janet Mills. They pressured people to rally behind. She's basically an elderly, sleepy moderate and one of America's literally least popular governors. She's like sixth least popular or whatever. She could have been Joanne Biden. And then they went negative on the populist guy who was obviously going to win the primary the whole time because he had a huge head start on her and a polling lead. And then the candidate they chose to try to push him out doesn't even make it to the end of the race. That's like Chuck Schumer had four straight bullseyes, except he was throwing the darts at his own deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And if you wonder why people are like, okay, so here's both why a lot of people find Plattner refreshing and why the money people want to destroy him. If you got this video clip of Matt from a speech that Plattner gave last week to a buildings trade union. It's 23 seconds long, but it basically includes all the reasons the money people want to kill him.
Guaranteeing dignity to working people is not some sideshow to policies. It must be central. Paying union workers a good wage to build our schools and our roads and our energy grids is the best possible way we could spend our money. Certainly better than giving tax breaks to billionaires or blowing up girls' schools in Iran. Guaranteeing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, it's like one of his big applause lines is, we're all being exploited by the exact same people, and it's not immigrants, and it's not trans kids, it's billionaires, right?
Right.
Which is also basically my theory of politics, and I wish more people would say it this plainly.
Right. No, I know. Yeah, a lot of this, I know, that's kind of what I mean. It's like so much of what this guy represents, it's like, I'm like, this is exactly what we need right now. Except for, you know, some of that old shit that people are bringing up. And it's like, it does, you know, whatever. I'm not even, you know, I felt similarly about Fetterman initially. And then, his brain went zap. And now, right. You know, he's all wild and shit. But
He did have a stroke and his personality changed. And he seemed to have gotten a little dumber. But also, it's important to remember, like, so the Fetterman compliment goes so far. First of all, Fetterman hates Plattner's fucking guts openly. Mm-hmm. they firmly disagree about like the Israel-Gaza war, right. For example. It's also important to remember, like, I read a piece. There's a piece out today about the Republican effort to get Fetterman to switch sides, and he basically is saying, "I would never do that because I'd make a very shitty Republican." He's not wrong. He flies a gay pride flag outside of his office.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a reliable vote for Democrats 90% of the time outside of immigration, basically. I mean, like, he's mouthier about Israel and says a lot of really stuff that I find horrifying, but the rest of the caucus votes pretty much the same way he does on it.
Right.
So it's not like he's voting wise, he's a pretty normal Democrat, mm-hmm. which is like when it comes to Fetterman, I don't think Chuck Schumer has a problem with Fetterman at all.
Right. Right. Probably not.
As far as like when it comes to Plattner, like the concern is like the attacks on him are happening two parallel, right? On one side of the mouth, they'll say he's too left wing, and on the right side of the mouth, they say he's too reactionary and too right wing, right? That's the basically saying the too right wing thing to the public and the too left wing thing to the money people. Which one do you think they actually have a problem with? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you can't be both. I guess you could do a horseshoe thing and be both right wing and left wing, depending on what issue you're talking about. But like, let's talk about the reasons people don't like him. Right? Let's talk about the controversies because they're all kind of funny. And this is an observer. As an amateur anthropologist, I find these controversies interesting in American culture in 2026. They seem like they're from a fucking time capsule, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So basically, I forget who dug up his Reddit history, but back around 2013, like from 2010 to 2015 or whatever, he was posting a lot on Reddit under the name P Hustle.
Love right. It. Yep.
So we got to talk about possible.
I would have gone with Plat Daddy, maybe. Wonder if he thought of that one. Yeah. G Dog. You know, I'm sure he went through a few options before he landed on Play Hustle.
Plat Ass would have worked too. Yeah. I don't have one. Graham
Plat the Cracker. Pussy Slayer. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
There you go.
Okay.
So basically, no one should ever post on the internet.
No, absolutely not. Take it from me.
And it's kind of funny because like what happened here is like I get the vibe that Plattner never planned to run for higher office. He's the class of people who find his existence an affront to them. Picked their high school yearbook quote based on how they thought it would play when they ran for Congress 20 years later.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So this all has a vibe of a guy, like you're watching a movie, like about a guy who found himself running for Congress who didn't intend to. Like the in media res beginning is like him typing on his computer alone in his underwear, holding a bag of Doritos and a beer. And then he types something like quasi racially problematic and then smash forward to a Senate debate. He's like, you might have wondered how I got here.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I just all find this looking kind of funny. Basically, like when I said no one should post on the internet, I want to have a caveat here, especially after 4 tours in Iraq and after 6 to 8 beers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of dumb shit. I can't talk about it all. But he used the F word slur for gay people a few times, mostly on military message boards talking about his officers.
Yeah.
All right.
Look.
That's every Marine talking about the Navy,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, dude. And it's like, if he has that mentality of, you know, that fucking, again, unfortunate source, but that Louis C.K. had a bit about 15 plus years ago or whatever, where he tried to make the case. He's like, it doesn't even mean someone who's gay. It means someone, you know, who sucks or whatever. Mm. And it's like, if he's got that mentality about it as a Marine and is saying it about his officers and stuff, I'm still not saying it's like just totally fine to do that, but it's like context does matter. And I know a million of those dudes, so...
Yeah, it's like also like it's like when you look at like, so it's not like he made a couple problematic posts, then started running for office. And like, by the way, his stance on this stuff now is I should have done that. It was bad. I know better now. But you can, it's not just he says that when he's running for office. You can watch in his posts over time, his viewpoint, this kind of stuff changed. Like he wasn't saying this. Yeah.
I mean, so, he got fucking 13 years older or whatever. How old is he?
Yeah. 41, I think.
Right. So I'm 40. He's pretty much my age. So he started doing, you know, that was when he was 27, 28, fresh out of the fucking Marines and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Till 2013 was a different world in so many ways. It's like, yeah, I'm sure he's changed a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say shit now that I said in 2013.
No. That's what I'm saying.
I've always never been a fan of the R, like casual use of the R word. My mom taught special ed, and she'd be mad at me for using it. Like, it's like, but yeah, I never was super comfortable with the F word slur for gay people, just because that's my own personal thing. But like, but it's not like I didn't say problematic, fucked up shit. Mm-hmm. I had a bit where the giant punch word was punchline was a gay guy calling me the F word.
Uh-huh.
That I stopped doing because the audience is in the middle. Like, it was a closing bit, then it stopped working because
things changed.
Right.
Yeah.
The world changes. It's fine. Right. But he talked about whether or not he had any actual hate in his heart. Even back in 2013, he was calling stuff, basically doing the Louis C.K. thing, where he said, called stuff, quote, gay, parentheses, not in the fun dick-sucking way, in parentheses.
Right. Yeah.
So, did it?
That's like progressive for a white Marine in 2013. I'm just saying.
Right. So, it's basically I'm not saying this stuff is great, but I'm just saying anybody who was alive in 2013 is this is fucking. A congressman shouldn't talk this way, but a 26-year-old ex-Marine. Right. The funniest part of it, in this section was he told us a long story about playing a game of gay chicken with British sailors in Bahrain. Uh-huh. Do you remember gay chicken?
Yes, of course. Who doesn't know gay chicken?
You basically lead in to kiss your boy, and the first one to chicken out lost the game.
Well, there's
gay
different
chicken
versions. There's that, yeah. And there's also running your hand up each other's thigh or whatever, towards your crotch, and then whoever stops it first is the one who's gay. Is that
yes? Right? If you stop, but he tells a story about playing it with a couple of British sailors, and one of the British sailors actually licked his homeboy's dick to win this game of games. This guy might be in the Senate. So we talk about our generation, the people that grew up on the internet, it's just gonna be this way for a while until people figure out how to have been when they were children on the internet, or how to talk about it when they become adults.
Right.
Now we should. I want to talk about the. Let's get into the quote unquote sexual assault part of this when we get back from break.
All right, we'll be right back. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol. Look, drinking hits. I've long said it, still say it, but I'm 40 now, and every day older you get, a little worse the next morning after drinking can be. I think we all know that. Starts to take the fun out of it, if we're being frank. And it's not a good time for that right now. Spring is here. It's May. People firing up the grills and stuff. A lot of fun times to be had out there socially, including with a little boozing. Why not? But sometimes you're we got a lot of stuff to do tomorrow. I'm going to feel like garbage if I do this fun stuff tonight. You got to pick between one or the other, and that kind of sucks. But you don't have to anymore with this week's sponsor, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink, right? Because it's the world's first genetically engineered probiotic invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. So people don't realize when you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. And the buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration itself, that's what's responsible for the rough days after drinking. And ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol produces an enzyme that breaks that byproduct down. So you just make it your first drink of the night, then you drink responsibly, of course, and you'll still feel your best the next morning. Anytime I use it, I'm actually ready to get up and do stuff the next day instead of just lay in the bed until noon, and my family prefers that. They prefer me to do stuff. We outside play golf, help Katie do tree stuff in the yard, just whatever, just do things like a human being. Wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol. All right, they let you show up for the night before and the morning after, all at the same time. Well, not the same time, you're not a time traveler. ZBiotics makes it hit. So go to ZBiotics.com/skew and use the promo code SKEW. That's SKEW. Use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off your first order. 100% money back guarantee, no questions asked. So risk free, baby. Go to ZBiotics.com/skew and use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Where I come from, money stress wasn't a topic of conversation, really, because it was just taken for granted by everybody, I think. We didn't want to stress each other out with our own problems, even though we were all feeling them at the same time. And looking back, that's not the way it should have been. Should have leaned on each other more, probably, but people don't want to talk about it. And sometimes it makes you think, not everybody is feeling it like you are, but that's not true. 88% of Americans said they were feeling some kind of financial stress at the start of this year. 88%, that's like almost everyone, but it still messes with each individual person differently. You still are the one who has to deal with it yourself. You're the only one living inside your own head, thinking about it. Messes your sleep up. It can mess up your relationship. We all know money is one of the biggest reasons couples fight, right? It's a problem. It's a stressor, and most of us just walk around all the time, never saying nothing about it, just carrying that burden, baby. But that's where therapy comes in. All right. Therapy is for the shame that you might feel underneath all that stress. It's for figuring out where your relationship with money, you know, originates from in the first place. And it's about building healthier ways to sit with it that don't involve just white knuckling it through each and every payday, you know. BetterHelp makes it easier than ever to get started with therapy. Whether it's money or love or whatever it is, therapy can help. And BetterHelp's therapists are fully licensed in the U.S. They're held to a strict code of conduct, and they've been doing this for more than 12 years now. You just fill out a short questionnaire. They'll match you with somebody based on your goals. And with over 30,000 therapists on their platform, they generally nail it the first time, but if for some reason they don't, it don't work out, it's fine. It's not a big deal. You can just switch anytime you want to. Simple as that. 6 million people served, an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars across more than 1.7 million reviews. That is one hell of a sample size. So it's time for you to try therapy. When life feels overwhelming, it can help. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/skews. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/skews. BetterHelp.com/skews. Sign up and get 10% off today. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. Religious freedom is supposed to mean something pretty simple. You get to hold your beliefs, whatever they are, as long as you ain't hurting nobody else, and you can practice those beliefs without the government interfering, right? I think everybody should be able to agree on that one, even my godless self, right? But that's not how it works. In modern day America, not right now. Right now, taxpayer funded foster and adoption agencies are out here turning away perfectly qualified families because they don't pass someone else's idea of a religious purity test, right? And these kids who actually need homes, they're the ones that pay the price at the end. I mean, the families do too. It's a tragic situation all around. What am I talking about? Trump's Religious Liberty Commission has been meeting regularly, and what they're working on is not really religious liberty. It's more like a Christian nationalist agenda, believe that or not. Religious freedom for only the right kind of Christian as they see it. That's what the project is. Americans United has real clients out there dealing with this in real life, like Liz and Gabe Rutan Ram, a Jewish couple back in my home state of Tennessee, ready and willing to foster to adopt, turned away by a state-funded agency because they're Jewish. There's Amy Madonna, a Catholic mother of three, who was rejected because she refused to sign an evangelical Protestant statement of faith. Then there's Fatma Maruf and Bryn Esplin, shown the door because they're a same-sex couple, right? These are loving families. These are children who need homes and people that are willing to give them those homes. And the state, using your tax dollars, is keeping it from happening. That's not religious liberty. That's discrimination with a Bible verse slapped on top of it. If you believe religious freedom should protect everybody and not be weaponized to turn away qualified families looking to foster and adopt children, we need you to join the fight now. Visit au.org/crooked to learn more and become a member today. This fight is far from over, and every one of us has a part to play. One more time, au.org/crooked.
All right, so the taking sexual assault likely or victim blaming for it stuff that was in that political ad, that's a reference to a Reddit thread where he commented. The thread was titled, "Shorts That Prevent You From Being Raped." It involved an Indiegogo ad for hard-to-remove boxer briefs for ladies that had Kevlar-reinforced crotches. All right, talk about this conversation being a time capsule. This was not an original idea in 2013. There was a different competitor line of anti-rape underwear that had electric shock technology. All right, this product had a combination lock to go pee. Play this video about.
What if you have to go to the bathroom? No problem. There's a special lock on the waistband and thigh only the user can undo. While many say the anti-rape wear is a great idea, others are criticizing the company's tagline, arguing rape isn't something that goes wrong and victims aren't to blame.
So, as far as I can tell, the two women who made the Indiegogo pitch raised $54,000, then ghosted with the money.
Yeah, that happened so much back then.
Right.
I mean, probably still does, but...
What Platner was commenting on was there was a whole thing in the thread where people were talking about how this product is good because it will enable you to get blackout drunk without fear of any sexual repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's talking about taking personal responsibility here, he's saying maybe don't go for that fifth Long Island iced tea because you're safe from this one thing and take some responsibility for your own drinking.
Right.
Now, if you think this product isn't stupid, I just disagree with you. I don't think that thinking this product is stupid is an out-of-bounds opinion, considering I remember this product at the time. It was widely mocked in, like, SNL Weekend Update bits and Daily Show pieces and shit. That doesn't mean it was, like... I'm just saying... Sometimes you get old and people misremember things that you lived through, and it's fucking weird.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's a wild ass product for sure. So, but you're saying he was on the side of this is stupid because it was marketed as you can go out and get as hammered drunk as you want and no one will be able to sexually assault you. And he was right. Like, maybe just don't get that drunk in the first place.
You should not plan to get blackout drunk. You should not plan to get so drunk you pass out in a fucking booth at a bar.
Well, you shouldn't get that blackout drunk regardless, period. Right. Putting it all aside, because there's a lot of really bad things that can happen, you know?
One, you're giving yourself brain damage. You could
wreck and kill a family, you know? Yes. Fucking, like, there's a ton of things besides just that.
You could fall and hit your head. You could drunkenly start a bar fight where somebody kills you. Lots of fucking bad stuff could happen.
Yep.
So, I found this opinion piece from 2013, The Guardian, about the Kevlar underwear. This modern-day chastity belt is yet another product of a society that blames victims rather than rapists. So this is a woman feministly arguing against the underwear. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's basically the perfect culture war issue because it's anti-feminist to make the underwear, but it's also anti-feminist to criticize the underwear.
Right, yeah.
Whereas I, on the other hand, am the perfect feminist for thinking it is man enough to wear the underwear that locks.
Yeah. I don't really get how... I know you said they were con artists, and so that's obviously a different thing. But if this was made by two women, I don't get how it's, like, even implying that it's the woman's fault for getting, you know, like a... I don't really get the argument.
But living in a universe with the underwear, you're creating a world where it's still on the woman to stop the rape.
Okay, right.
Right? Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, instead of like, it's like, which I get the argument here. So let's talk about the Nazi tattoo thing. So I've seen a lot of people say, I will never vote for someone with a Nazi tattoo. And I got to say, I don't disagree with the fucking rule. Right. So we got asked a question about this on a Q&A a couple months ago. And I, like, my basic takeaway is I haven't seen it any. He got the tattoo. Supposedly his story was drunk on leave with his fellow Marines in his unit. They got the tattoo as a group in Croatia while they were drunk and did not know it was a Totenkopf. They thought it was just a regular skull and bones.
Okay. Right. That's the important part to me. Okay. Does he still have it?
He got covered up, but not until after it came out as a news story. But he was like, he's on like his own Facebook and Instagram, like catching fish and stuff shirtless with the tattoo clearly visible in photos. Like, he wasn't hiding it.
Okay. All right. And so, yeah, we're not talking about a swastika. It's a Nazi skull that he says he just thought was just a skull.
It's a very well-known symbol for the SS, but I would not have recognized it out of context. But so maybe I'm being too forgiving because of my own stupidity and blind spot here. But I'm like,
have to look up what it particularly looks like. Is it the skull from the famous sketch? Are we the baddies?
Are we the baddies?
Why skulls?
It's the exact skull. Yeah. It's the exact thing. But basically, but I was like, until like I would, if it, like, say, so, like, let's talk about, like, Pete Hegseth's tattoos, which were a thing when he was getting confirmed. I thought Pete Hegseth's tattoos were a problem because they indicate an ideology, right? That goes along with his other ideology that he's written books about, which is basically that we are at a civilizational war against Islam because he has tattoos of the fucking Crusades.
Right.
Right? And lo and behold, now we're in a fucking huge war with Iran. I thought the tattoo was a sign he'd be for a war with Iran, and lo and behold, I was proved right. There was more than one side.
I just found the picture of it, the original one. Like, I mean, I'm dumb, but I would not have immediately clocked that as a Nazi tattoo personally. I just got a new shirt recently. It's got a bunch of skulls on it, and I'm like, damn, I need to go look at that shirt. I've been wearing that shirt on stage. I don't know if those are like, if those are cool skulls or... Did I get, like, the bad skulls? I don't even know. But, yeah, I would not have known that if you hadn't told me.
So, yeah. But I was like, so with Platter, but, like, is there, like, a second Nazi thing? Because, like, it's like, because he, imagine if, like, you found out that back in college, Ted Cruz got a tattoo that was, like, a hammer and sickle tramp stamp.
Right. I would not think that makes him a secret socialist communist. Yeah, right.
So, Because if Graham Platter is a crypto-Nazi, it's extremely long con that goes back decades with no sign he ever planned to run for office. Like, there's a 2008 documentary that was a joint production of CNN and MTV where he, like, it was a profile of him and a few of his buddies. They had started, like, a progressive, woke-coded, like, veterans organization to help at George Washington, to help them, like, integrate themselves into, like, the student community. It was, like, diverse and inclusive, yada, 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 all that stuff. And she was talking about out loud in 2008. So, If he was whispering Hail Hydra to people, it's been a very, you know,
right. And
like, there's also a part, like, here's where he gets back to, like, the whole outsider persona is a little bit fake, because, like, he got, like, the whole blue-collar thing, okay, he went to a pretty expensive private school, his dad's a lawyer, his mom runs, like, a Michelin-star restaurant, and when he was going to GWU, he was a bartender at a place that had a lot of, like, Democrat consultants and DC reporters, like, as regulars, so they all know him from then, which means that he was pretending to not be a Nazi while he was pouring drinks for, like, I don't know, like the Senate staffers that are now in Congress back in 2000. Like, it's like, it seems like when people think that Barack Obama, like, they planted birth announcements in the Honolulu newspaper in 1954 as part of a long con to get a communist elected as a black guy with a Muslim name in 2008.
Yeah.
That's a play with a lot of moving parts.
The other thing, without even knowing exactly what kind of Nazi-coded symbol it was until just now actually seeing the picture of it and what his explanation for it was, even before that, the first thing that popped into my mind, which I've talked about here before, you know, when after my Meemaw died and me and my sister went and cleaned out the house we grew up in and then later sold it, and we were cleaning out the bedroom that I grew up in. A truly comical number of things with Confederate flags on them, like posters from county fairs, Leonard Skinner T-shirts, so much stuff. I always say the funniest one was it was a Confederate. It was one of those little, you throw darts at the fair to win little shitty framed pictures in like a cardboard frame, and it was a Confederate flag background, and the foreground was a green alien with a cigarette hanging out of its mouth, dressed in a Confederate soldier's uniform.
For who is that?
But I thought it was rad when I was 14, I guess. But it's like, but again, happy to say zero Confederate flags in my Burbank house, but like, I had a very, in retrospect, very stupid, very naive idea and opinion and sort of perspective on all that at the time that I've changed tremendously on in the years since. So, you know, I guess I'm more apt to be understanding about that kind of thing in the first place. I also had a fucking, every DMX record and a subscription to The Source and shit and fucking, you know, wore lugs and stuff too. So I was making no sense in 2000, the year 2000.
Young people are often all over the place, and then they grow up and they form firmer opinions about stuff. Let me quote here. Back in 2021, according to CNN, Platt responded to a thread about people becoming more conservative as they get older by writing, "I got older and became a communist." So if you're talking about the post that probably bugged the actual Democratic establishment the most to come back and haunt him, it's like back in 2020, he was posting a lot of anti-cop shit during the George Floyd protests. So that's probably more of what they're worried about. But anyway, Platter, if you're worried about the Nazi stuff, Platter's been endorsed by this showing up for racial justice. Let me quote here. Graham has been willing to defend those the GOP scapegoats and many Democrats failed to defend. He has unapologetically defended trans people and immigrants and spoken out against the genocide in Palestine. So, you notice I said no second Nazi stuff, not no racially questionable stuff. You and I both were in the service industry. Let's talk about the participating at a Reddit board for people who work in the service industry and asked basically why black people are bad tippers.
Okay.
Which is a stupid thing to say out loud. And I've been in these arguments before going back 25 years. Okay. Like I've told people this is a stupid thing to say and believe to their faces who are my coworkers. This is a very common sentiment.
It's a stereotype for sure is what I'm saying. Right. Like I'm not I worked in restaurants for years and it's like, it's a stereotype without a doubt.
It is like, and it's like, this comes up because American tipping culture is insane. And when I say culture, I want to emphasize culture here because a lot of cultures are stereotyped as bad tippers. And it's not just black people in America, but servers will tell you that.
Christians.
Church groups are awful tippers.
Church crowd was my least favorite by far. Give me the entire tech basketball team over a fucking Church of Christ letting out, you know.
But the thing is, when I start listing these categories, you'll eventually realize that everybody, you single human being, basically falls into these categories at one point in time. And basically, servers are all haters who hate fucking every table. All
right, so that's so true, dude.
All right. British people are bad tippers. Immigrants in general are bad tippers. Tourists are bad tippers. French people are bad tippers. Southerners are bad tippers. And that's not even, like, it's remotely false. Like, the amount of times I have to go back to tables after my relatives have picked up the check to drop more cash on the table is,
yeah.
The list of those times is long. Okay. We talk about people that are stereotypically good table tippers. The list is very, very short. It's basically just dudes that come in, large groups of dudes that come in buzz from just playing a round of golf. And brunch gays.
Right.
Back when you had smoking sections, a smoking table of brunch gays will pay your way through college. Also, like, the stereotype about, like, when I used to work in college, one of the restaurants I worked at was a fine dining steakhouse. Well, it was a small college town version of a fine dining steakhouse. I'm not saying anybody, any rich person's idea fancy, but it was a trash person's idea fancy.
Yep.
But it's a kind of place where we wore, like, you know, cheap tuxedo vests, and you might get a 10 tables total in a busy night, right? So it makes it easy to keep track. And I made a bet with my coworkers who were pushing this awful stereotype that I didn't think it was true or as true as they said it was. And I kept track of all my tables for a month. We could compare different groups. This is how fucking annoying I am. And what I found, that the median tip was lower, but the average tip was higher, because occasionally some black table who was aware of the stereotype and wanted to say fuck you to servers for being racist would leave like 100% tip.
Yeah, right. Like you do when you're with your family or whatever. And I do that too.
Right.
For like white trash, because I've definitely had that experience before too, where it's like outside the South, where it's like, I know they don't want to be taken care of me because they think I'm a dumb, you know, it's not going to go well. So you tip to compensate. But dude, fucking Mark, bringing empirical evidence into this fucking discussion. He's got spreadsheets and data points and shit from 20 years ago.
Right. So anyway, my point is, like, the racial one is the worst form of stereotypes. I will point, because, like, it's the only one you can see from across the restaurant, and people will try to pawn tables off in each other. And this is like, yes, servers of all colors and creeds. I've had black coworkers like think they were sticking me with black tables before. Like, so it's like it's a very weird thing. But my point is, like people do get worse service because of the stereotype, and that fucking sucks. That's the part where the racism materially affects people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I've been out to eat with black friends where it happened. I've seen it happen. It fucking sucks. So anyway, my point is, like, when you, there's like a two Americas thing where, like, if you think just broaching the topic is somehow a conversation that people are not having every day all over this country, then it just means you haven't waited tables.
Right.
And so anyway, he said, I shouldn't have said that. It's fucking stupid. And he's right. It's fucking stupid. So I'm glad he came around to the right conclusion. So I do want to say, after all this stuff, it is true that no matter what arguments people are making about his posts and whatever, the DC did prefer Mills over Plattner because she's a moderate. To that end, for example, she just vetoed a bill that would have temporarily paused permits for new data centers until November 2027 while the impacts were studied. I think I mentioned that on Friday's show. But I wanted to talk about for a little bit here, like, about what a moderate is, because they have a very specific idea about what a moderate is. Because to me, a moderate means like a regular, normal person.
Uh huh.
That's not what they mean.
Well, who's, like, they? When you mean the DC establishment or the Democratic, yes, establishment? Okay.
Yes. Yes. So my definition of a moderate is a bit larger, and it includes dudes like Graham Plattner, because there are 70 million of them in America. And, like, you got to, it's an utterly normal, regular kind of guy, even if he should have put a breathalyzer on his computer back in 2012.
That makes him even more of a normal guy, in my opinion.
Right. But, like, their definition of a moderate's always very pro-business. Like, you notice that?
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, like neoliberal shit or whatever. Yeah, you're supposed to be, pro-corporation and, like,
for Wall Street.
Israel too nowadays, right? And Wall Street and all that stuff. Yeah.
Silicon Valley. It's like the moderate consensus position is to be super pro Israel, even though the voters are 80%. We should stop funding. We should fund this at least so easily without some constraints. So, moderate means pro military industrial complex, pro Silicon Valley, pro land developers, pro private health
cops
insurance
and shit like that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
So if you take like basically it's like a moderate, you'd think it would be somebody who's like a 5 out of 10 on the political scale. Right? If like 10 is like hardcore conservative and, or no, 10 is like hardcore socialist, and zero like, is like
moderate Democrats are really like center right, at least.
Right.
Like really.
On business stuff. Yeah. So like right wing on business stuff, especially. So say it's like, say you're a 3 out of 10 on business regulation, but a 7 out of 10 on cosmopolitan and liberal stuff, like kneeling in the Kente cloth or tweeting happy Kwanzaa. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But a 5 out of 10 on actual social justice stuff, just enough so nobody gets mad at you. Yeah. That's a moderate, right? But flip the scramble the numbers
that
a little
is
bit.
Not a flattering, you know, description or a set for me. I mean, like that person, right. That hypothetical person you just described is like, not a big fan.
Well, I'm not the biggest fan. It's not somebody who's supposed to be part of the left wing coalition, right? But it doesn't mean that they're the worst kind of politician in the world, because they're not. Like I'm trying to like talk about like, so the point is like it's not just averaging at a 5, right? So let's flip scramble the numbers a little bit. So you're 7 out of 10 on regulating businesses, but 3 out of 10 on the cosmopolitan liberal stuff, like tweeting happy Kwanzaa. But like let's say the social justice stuff is like the cops should not have mech suits, right?
Right. Where does that put you on your number scale if you think that?
0, or cops should all have mech suits, 10, okay? Let's say you're 7 opposing the mech suits, where the other side's 3. Like, you still average out to a 5. They would say you're a left-wing radical for saying the cops should have the mech suits, right?
Yeah.
Even, the point is not to average out to a 5, but in a specific fucking situation, right? But so it leaves a lot of people politically homeless, because I need you to imagine here, do you remember the famous, 30 Rock joke where Jack is asking Liz's boyfriend, Dennis.
Yes, love it. Keep going. But one of my favorites all time from that show.
Jack asks Dennis what his politics are. And Dennis says, socially conservative, but fiscally liberal. And the joke there is that no one ever says that, but it's very common to say you're socially liberal, but fiscally conservative. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but the thing is, there are a ton of people who are socially conservative but fiscally liberal. They do fucking exist. Like, the worst case scenario is a Herrenvolk democracy. That's essentially national socialism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but there are a ton of people who would just be in favor of like pushing back against more corporate power, but aren't fully on board with like...
Yeah. All the pronoun shit and fucking all that stuff, yeah. And I mean, if we're being honest, there's also plenty of people who... would like push back on the fucking corporate overlords and stuff, who just straight up, you know, don't like gay people or are some form of racist or whatever. Yeah, no, you're right. It's this weird sort of inconvenient truth, I think, for a lot of people in the world of Democrats, you know, is basically that. It's like there's some factions that like they need or sort of rely on that are really... probably would just straight up be Republicans, a lot of them, if our Republican Party didn't, you know, want to execute and or deport them or whatever, which makes it kind of a tough sell. So, you know.
Yeah. So what I'm saying about politically homeless, like people that are like, for to put it Dennis's way of thinking, are socially conservative but fiscally liberal. Like, it leaves a lot of people inscrutable to like the wider establishment. I'm talking about like the MAHA movement, for example, who do not trust corporations, big pharma, fucking whatever, but also don't trust the liberal mainstream media, right?
Yeah.
You got like the unwoke anti-war people who don't trust Palantir and banks, right? A lot of those are anti-Semitic. I'm not saying you bring those people in. If people aren't persuadable or willing to bend on stuff like civil rights for trans people and gay people, I'm not saying you invite them into the coalition anyway or fucking listen to them on it. I'm saying like
okay, for those last people, just real quick though, because you're right, it's wild. There's like, I feel like Trump was able to bring in all these different types of people that were not your like classical picture of just like a Republican voter in a lot of ways. And now there's this sort of civil war and stuff. But it's like you said, unwoke, anti-war, fuck Palantir, fuck the banks or whatever. And it's like, I feel like fucking like, you know, like Tim Dillon and guys like that are, you know, they sort of are like that. Well, Dave Smith's a straight up libertarian, but these people but I just don't get how is the perceived wokeness of like voting Democrat or the left or whatever just outweighs on the scale so much that other shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the only point against like the left is the wokeness, but they just can't. They're like, I'd almost rather vote for the the banks and Palantir and the war people. That's how much I'm anti-woke, you know?
Like, I know what you're saying, but like, to me. But no one's trying, like I say, so when, like, for example, when Democrats go to try to win, what they see as swing voters or moderate voters, okay? The pitch is always, they'll always try to, like say that, like, I will, the pitch is always like, sure, I might help your boss outsource your job, but we'll make sure trans kids can't play sports, right? Mm-hmm. It's never the inverse of it, which is like, we might not agree on trans kids and sports. I'm not going to bend on that, but we'll make sure that your boss can't fuck you over, your job isn't shipped overseas, and your health insurance company can't kill you.
Right.
Where?
Right.
Why?
And
why is that?
And like Graham Plattner is sort of doing that. That. Right.
Right. Right. Right. So like it's an interesting experiment. I'm glad somebody's running it.
I know, because it feels obvious to me, you know. I mean, right. It's, I feel like it's a version of things we've been saying on here for a long time. We're talking, people ask, like, how do you go into these places and talk about this stuff as a Democrat or whatever? And we've always been like, well, just don't focus on that part of it. Focus on the other part, you know.
I don't just care about trans kids. I care about all kids and make sure your kids have opportunities in good schools too. Like, right. It's like, why is it never, like, when people complain about, like, they notice that there's a bunch of Haitian immigrants that have moved into their town. It's always, we will do something to cap immigration. It's never the, like, I hear you, it has been disruptive, we'll make sure that there's enough hospitals and schools for everybody, and we're going to have, like, a big potluck where everybody gets to know each other. You know what I'm saying? It's like they always want to surrender on the wokeness stuff first instead of giving on the money issues, which is the problem. It's always, the moderation is always defined by your relationship to capital.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's the only thing and the most important thing.
It's going to be tough to change, isn't it, though? Because they're, like, funded by that.
Right.
They're in the pockets of these big
money
people.
That's what they'll say.
I mean, so what the fuck are you going to do, you know?
That's what they say, is, like, you guys are being naive. Like, since the Supreme Court threw away, like, all the campaign finance regulations, like Citizens United and stuff, we can't compete without a bunch of fucking handouts from billionaires. And, like, so
and
it's
they
just,
won't
is
give
the
us that if we don't fucking kiss the ring and suck up to them and give in all this stuff. Right? I know.
So you gotta find a different way. Otherwise, it's just things just keep
people
spiraling.
Like Bernie, maybe it's not feasible for all of them to be able to do that. Maybe because Bernie was like one of a kind, sort of at the time. Mm-hmm. But it's been proven that you can't. You know, you can do some real, like, grassroots shit, I think, if you're like, if you tap into this left wing populist thing, you know, right. You get small dollar donations, and you could be politically relevant. But they don't want to. You know, that don't hit as hard if you're in the fucking, you know, the driver's seat like they are or want to be. You know, parties aren't as cool and stuff.
I wanted to propose a thought experiment about who's considered moderate and who's considered tough on crime or whatever by thinking about it this way. So if I ran for office saying that, like, you know, it's a typical Democrat move to be pro-death penalty when you need to look tough to win, like, a centrist state, right? So what if I was like, okay, if we're going to have the death penalty, we should expand it to white-collar criminals. Because if you commit murder by dumping fucking chemicals in a river and it gives kids cancer and they die, you have killed those people for money, just like a fucking hitman or a guy who robs a bank did.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be considered conservative coded or left wing coded?
Right. Yeah, it's hard to say, I feel like, right now.
Right. I think you'd talk about me like I was fucking Stalin, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's just like, how is the guy who kills your kid to make a fucking profit off their stock price any different than a drug dealer who kills your kid for fucking being in the way of his drug sale?
Right. Well, that's Luigi stuff. I mean, it's like when all that, and when Luigi first happened, there were, you know, there was people on both sides. There's people at the top on both sides who are like, obviously, this guy's a fucking psycho or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then there were, like, common people on both sides who were like, this guy hits for me, you know, so it's, I don't know.
But just an example of how maybe people should think differently and more aggressively about this stuff. And we're like, kudos to, I've never said this before, but kudos to Hakeem Jeffries, who made noise about expanding and reforming the Supreme Court this week, because finally they pushed it to the point where those guys are starting to get it. But I read this piece in the Financial Times that'll fucking infuriate you. It's about a conference for white-collar defense lawyers where all of them are complaining about how they have no business because nobody in America is being prosecuted for white-collar crime anymore. like, does it feel like it's because of less scams? Because I just being texts and calls, I've had 20 people try to rob me just fucking today.
Now, I know I for putting on airs once, I Googled, like, white collar crime to talk about it. And I found this like Business Week article that was like, white collar crime is down a crazy. And while I was reading, going into it, knowing nothing. And while reading it, I was like, I feel like I know why that probably is. You know what I mean? It's the same reason COVID was so down in Florida in 2020 or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like you're not, people are just letting it happen. You're not doing anything about it.
I got some numbers here from that piece, Trey. There were fewer white-collar prosecutions in 2025 than in any year since 1986 when Ronald Reagan was president. So there's a lot of fucking justice to be meted out on the other side of this from people that are taking, like we're talking about mortgage fraud, taking people's houses, healthcare scams, reverse mortgages, fucking crypto scams, yada, yada, yada. They're stealing everything that isn't nailed down right now, everybody with a business degree. And anybody who's not running for office to try to fix that, don't trust them. This is my point. So I trust them less than the other guys.
Yeah. Not everybody. Hashtag not everybody with a business degree. I have a business degree, Mark. It's going to
show why. We got to kill Trey.
Really, that just shows just how stupid I am. I'm the only person with a business degree not capitalizing on the fucking kleptocracy. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you guys for watching. Remember, go to TreyCrowder.com and come see me on the road. Since I'm not scamming people, I need you to come and buy tickets and see me. I've got a bunch of West Coast shows coming up in the next few weeks, so TreyCrowder.com. If you want a palate cleanser, check out Good Skews. That's producer Matt's project. Good people doing good things. It's audio exclusive, so look for it on the podcast feed for this show. And if you want to support this show, you can sign up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month, you get 2 full-length bonus episodes, plus all the ad-free editions of the regular show. And sometimes we do Q&As over there. We answer your questions. It's a lot of fun. Either way, keep watching the regular show, and we'll keep showing up Tuesday afternoons, evenings for some of y'all. That's it for now. Love you. Bye.
Skew.